Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jess Romero, Terry Barber reporting for duty, sir. Jess, I got to tell you, brother, every single day we get on the air, I know I tick somebody off, okay? I just know it because I get these emails. I'm sorry, but you know, we're trying to promote the truth about our faith, about our culture, and sometimes the truth hurts, Jesse.
Terry, half the people in the Catholic Church, at least, and I'm being generous here.
Yeah.
At least half of the people in our Catholic Church are either modernist or dissenters.
Yeah.
That's the, I mean, look to the right of the pew, look to the left of the pew. 50, I mean, this has been studied.
Yeah.
50% or more people that are inside going to Mass on Sunday don't believe in all the teachings of the church.
Well, I can see this, that one today's show, I have to say, I'm excited because Archbishop Cordeleon and Archbishop Gomez stepped up to the plate and they criticized, okay, which I think is a time to criticize things that are wrong. They're criticizing the outrageous claims against St. Onipero Serra from all over our state. As a matter of fact, the state of California.
It's from revisionist historians.
Yeah, they're taking the statue down in Sacramento. They all voted on that, and for false reasons. So I appreciate when we get to that point to talk about what archbishops are saying, because we need more of our leadership to be criticizing the culture, Jess.
It's a communist tactics. First, what you do is you get an academic to revise history and to tell a lie, and then you gin up the masses, the hoi polloi, the rank and file. And now they start demanding, take down the statue, take down this, take down that.
That's it.
So that's just the way, that's communism.
That's how it works.
We're seeing communism in America right now.
And Dr. Ed Mazza, who's been ill, he's coming back soon, we hope, for us here at Virgin Most Powerful, will be on the air to talk about that because he's an expert on this topic. Also, good to know files. We're going to cover the FDA officials and other scientists saying that most people don't need the vaccine boosters. Really? Okay. Another good to know file. Israel study. Fully vaxxed are 27 times more likely to get COVID compared to people with natural immunity, which you have after you have it. So, I mean, Jesse, you and myself, Anita, you've had it. So you're stronger to defend the virus than someone with that. Also, good to know files. I'm going to talk about an Ohio mayor doing something that's fantastic and an entire college team doing something fantastic. And I'm going to talk about live-action President Lila Rose, how she's fighting back. These are all good-to-know stories. But before we get into any of that, it's the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We call it soul food, Jesse.
There's two readings I want to just mention.
Good, because it's the gospel, feast day.
Yeah, the gospel's today's the feast day of St. Cornelius and Cyprian.
Martyrs, baby.
Yeah, and by the way, the Lord may be calling all of us to martyr.
Oh, yeah.
I don't say that lightly either. Now, St. Cornelius was the pope and St. Cyprian was the bishop. Both of them share today's feast days because they were both killed for their faith. They both lived back in the 3rd century. Cornelius was elected the pope back in 251 AD. He had a short pontificate.
Hey, Jesse, let's be honest. Yeah, yeah. The first 300 years, if you were a pope, you were a martyr. Come on. If you got elected, you're meant to be dead. You're going to be dying for the faith.
I've read in I read in several history books that about the first, I think, 30 to 33 people killed.
Yeah.
They were killed. And by the way, at the time of Pope Cornelius, there was an anti-pope by the name of Novatian.
Oh, yeah.
So now, St. Cyprian, he was elected Bishop of Carthage. That's in North Africa. And one of his famous sayings, St. Cyprian, is this one, quote, "No one can have God as his father who does not have the church as his mother."
Oh, that's such a beautiful statement.
That's a powerful statement because I'm going to tell you, Terry, that you look at that, Protestants are going to have to have, they're going to have a very, if St. Cyprian is right, which he is, people are going to have a hard time outside the Catholic Church being saved. I'll leave that up to God, but this statement here is powerful and it makes sense. You can't have God as your father if you don't have the church as your mother.
Amen.
Both of them were killed as martyrs in 253 AD. The Romans arrested Pope Cornelius. They sent him to exile, and he was killed as a martyr in exile. St. Cyprian was martyred in Carthage, Africa in 258 AD. St. Cyprian, St. Cornelius, pray for us.
Amen.
Gospel quick.
I love it.
Luke 7:36. Mm-hmm. A certain Pharisee invited Jesus to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Now, there was a sinful woman in the city who learned that he was at the table in the house of the Pharisee. Bringing an alabaster flask of ointment, she stood behind him at his feet and weeping and began to bathe his feet with her tears. By the way, that's a sign of repentance. The church fathers call, they say there's two types of repentance or two types of conversions. They say the conversion of baptism, and then they say the conversion of tears. So there's two conversions that occur in a person's life. Baptism metaphysically converts a soul from darkness to a child of God. But the second conversion is the conversion of tears, according to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And here we see this is what this woman is doing, the conversion of tears in her heart. It says, then she wept, then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and anointed them with the ointment. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what sort of a woman this was who's touching him, that she's a sinner. Jesus said in reply, Simon, I have something to say to you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people were in debt to a certain creditor. One owed 500 days' wages, and the other owed 50. Since they were unable to pay the debt, he forgave it for both. Which of them will love him more? Simon said in reply, the one, I suppose, whose larger debt was forgiven. Jesus said to him, you have judged rightly. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? When I entered your house, speaking of Simon, you did not give me water for my feet, but she has bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, hence she has shown great love. That last verse is the whole gospel right there. That last verse.
That's right.
Where Jesus says, so I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, hence she has shown great love. That's why St. Peter says in the first epistle, he says, love covers a multitude of sins. And St. John of the Cross says, at the twilight, at the end of our earthly life, we will all be judged by how we love. That's everything.
Everything.
That's why the three theological virtues, 1 Corinthians 13:13, that's the greatest. Then it ends, it says, but the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. It makes sense. He said to her, your sins are forgiven. The others at the table said to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? But he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The last sentence, again, I want to just take a shot at Luther, sure, wherever he's at. Here's where he got it wrong again. Luther said we're saved by faith alone. We're justified by faith alone. He said, love doesn't form faith. That's where he was wrong. That's where the Council of Trent responded to Luther and said that you're justified by a faith formed by love. So who's right, the church or Luther? Jesus answers, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. What type of faith did this woman demonstrate? Pure love. That's what the Council of Trent said. You are saved by faith formed by love. Once Amen. Again, Luther was wrong. Take that statue down at the Vatican.
Okay, let's bring the smartest guy into the room right now. You notice how politically incorrect we are, folks? I mean, Jesse, give me a break. I love it. Okay, here, this is something that Fulton Sheen said years ago, that the end of Christendom. In other words, when we were kids, Jesse and I were kids, things were a lot different because there was a Christian mentality that you didn't steal, you didn't do, you know, these things were there, okay? And even divorce was looked upon badly. Here's what Bishop Sheen says. It wasn't so many years ago that those who reject many Christian truths were considered, I love this line, off the reservation. Jesse, that sounded like you. He said, divorce, remarried, homosexual marriage, you know, atheists, the enemies of the family, or those who held the law was a dictate of the will, not of reason. See, faith and reason. Today, it is we Christians, who are considered off the reservation. That's true, Jess, right now. If they who are on it, the Christian is today on the defensive. That's right. If for no other reason than because he is the exception. See, this is what we have to get used to right now, Jesse. Chris, you know, people say, I don't want to make a wave. No, we have to make a wave. We're at the point now where the silent majority, us, we need to stand up for our Catholic faith. And later in the show, we're going to talk about the Good to Know files, where Christians are standing up to defend the faith and to defend morality. And we need more of that. As a matter of fact, when we come back, I'm going to have Dr. Ed Mazza on to talk about two archbishops, one in L.A., one in San Francisco, who did the same thing. They stood up for the Catholic faith of St. Onipero Serra. I applaud them for that. We need more of our bishops to be critical of the culture rather than saying, oh, don't push it too hard. Let them do their thing. Don't tell them that it's a sin. No, just the opposite. If you love somebody and you're fornicating, or let's say you're for abortion and you don't, you're a public person like the President of the United States, you don't go to Holy Communion. We have to have our leaders in our church say, I love you so much, I'm telling you, knock it off. You can't go to Holy Communion until you go to confession, repent. That's how much I love you. All right, Jess, you knew where that was at. I had to say that. We come back, Dr. Ed Mazza will be here on the Terry and Jesse Show. Again, we're not into fights. You know what we are into? Proclaiming the truths of Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. And we want to be confirmed in that faith by our leaders. And just now, both archbishops are doing just that. When we come back, we'll have Dr. Ed to share that with us.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Go ahead, Jeff.
We're back with Terry and Jesse's show. We've got Dr. Ed Mazza. He's a medieval historian.
Yep.
And he's probably the smartest guy right now out of all three of us. So
absolutely. There's no question about that.
There's a lot of brain power in that intellect. We want to ask him. We want to applaud, first of all, the two archbishops, Corleone and Jose Gomez, for stepping up and defending St. Junipero Serra from what I would call these Marxist revisionist historians who have engaged in misinformation and disinformation. I would like Dr. Ed Mazza to unravel this and tell us, who is the real St. Junipero Serra?
Amen.
Is it the person, according to this journalist Elias Castillo, in a book that he wrote, A Cross of Thorns, or is the real Junipero Serra the one depicted by Salvatore Corleone and Archbishop Jose Gomez? Take it away, Dr. Ed.
Thank you, gentlemen. Yes, the real Junipero Serra was a saint. He was an imitator of Jesus Christ.
Man.
And so as Jesus Christ was calumnied and insulted and accused of having a demon, well, so too is St. Junipero Serra. He was in middle age. He was a professor, I guess kind of like me, in Mallorca, Spain. And he didn't have to go anywhere. But he traveled all the way across the Atlantic Ocean, which, you know, back in those days was like going into outer space. And then he walked barefoot because he was a Franciscan.
Yep.
And he went to Alta, California, which today is, you know, the California that we know. And he founded the missions there. Nine of the missions, San Diego, right? Our Lady of the Angels, Los Angeles, San Francisco. And this man was an on-fire Catholic,
mm-hmm.
and he is being maligned by Marxists, by atheists, by BLM and Antifa and all these different critical race people.
Right.
And it's all lies. They accuse him of genocide. They accuse him of he never killed anybody. He was a little diminutive friar. If you ever met him, you'd want to give him a hug. I could give you some details about what he did do and try to expel all these myths about what he did not do.
Ed, can I jump in and just ask you this question? You mentioned that St. Junipero Serra walked to Mexico from California, and it was like an 1,800 or 2,000-mile walk. But I think it's important to bring up why he walked. What was he defending? What motivated him to walk back to Mexico? Because I think this is indicative of who this man is.
Let me quote Archbishop Corleone. Saint Serra made heroic sacrifices to protect the indigenous people of California from their Spanish conquerors, especially the soldiers. even with his infirmed leg, which caused him such pain, he walked all the way to Mexico City to obtain special faculties of governance from the Viceroy of Spain in order to discipline the military who were abusing the Indians.
Unbelievable.
And then he walked back to California. That's 2,000 miles one way and 2,000 miles the other way.
Break.
Doesn't sound like a hater of indigenous Indians to me.
That's the truth. See, that's what's not getting out, Dr. Ed.
Well, this is, Terry, this is by intention. This is the way the communists operate.
Yeah, that's right.
They have to revise history.
Yep.
And so they put out misinformation and disinformation, and they confuse the low-information Catholic, the low-information American, because, again, if people aren't listening to good podcasts like this and others, they're going to read an article from the Los Angeles Times. They're going to say, wow, Junipero Serra was a monster. And that's it. End of story.
Let me tell you about an incident that happened on the night of November 4th, 1775, at Mission San Diego. Mm-hmm. Okay, there was a plan hatched by pagan sorcerers and shamans to remove all traces of the Spanish. Mm-hmm. And so that night, 600 warriors from some 40 different rancherias, they crept into the mission compound.
Wow.
They plundered the chapel. They set fire to the buildings. Mm-hmm. All right, so one of the friars, the best friend of Junipero Serra, Father Luis Jaime, he ran out and he said, "Amor a Dios, hijos," love of God, brothers. And what did the Native Americans do? They grabbed him. They stripped him. They shot 18 arrows into his body, and then they pulverized his face with clubs and stones. All right. When this attack on the mission was over, and the soldiers finally brought about order, what did Saint Junipero Serra do, the genocider? He was not outraged. He was concerned for the killers' souls.
Wow.
He pleaded with the authorities, and this is what he said: "As to the killer, let him live so that he can be saved.
Amen.
For that is the purpose of our coming here and its sole justification."
There you go.
And he said, "As for the other culprits, their offense should be forgiven after some slight punishment," he said. "By doing so, they would see that we were putting into practice the rule we teach them, to return good for evil and to pardon our enemies."
Wow. Wow. Ed, this is important to say because here in the state of California, they're wanting to replace his statue with an indigenous Indian statue. And it just seems like the whole culture we're in, this is indicative of, right and wrong. We're just reversing everything, that we're living in a world where what was right is now wrong and what was wrong is now right.
Yeah. Well,
you heard about the kids in the school that are being taught to pray Aztec.
Yes, of course. We talked about that. Yes. It's crazy.
The Aztecs pray to demons.
Right.
And this is cultural Marxism, what we're seeing right now.
Yep.
They have to demonize and destroy Catholicism because Catholicism gave us Western civilization. Catholicism gave us the free market.
Yep.
And so in order to replace it with socialism, Catholicism must be demonized every time they have the opportunity. Right, Ed?
That's what they do. They want to, it's the Great Reset. They want to turn us into a Marxist society. And in order to do that, as Antonio Gramsci and other Marxists down through the history of the 20th century have told us, you've got to reorder everything, reinvent everything. And that means getting rid of Christianity.
Yeah.
But, they talk about justice. They talk about human rights.
Yes.
I got news for you. It's the Catholic Church that invented human rights, that invented justice, for example, laws against discrimination, right? That comes from the Catholic Church, because all these Marxists, they're all atheists. They're all Darwinists. And I got news for you. If you're an atheist and you're a Darwinist, you don't believe in what you can't see and hear and touch and feel, right? So that's why they don't believe in God. They think God is like the tooth fairy. Well, guess what? Pick up an evolutionary biology textbook. You see anything in there about human rights?
No.
You see anything in there about justice?
Nothing.
You can't look at it under a microscope or a telescope. Therefore, according to their logic, it doesn't exist. All right. So they're robbing us of what we teach, which is that we're all equal because we're children of God. And they're running with it, but without the metaphysical background to support it. Because it's a survival of the fittest if there's no God, which they proclaim.
Right. Dr. Ed, I've heard you say in other episodes that the term religious liberty was coined back in the 2nd century by Tertullian. It goes back that far? That term religious liberty? Yeah.
Tertullian was a tremendous guy. He invented the term Trinity. Mm-hmm. He's the first Western theologian to use the word Trinity to refer to God.
Wow.
He coined the phrase religious liberty because, of course, as you guys pointed out, and as our feast day today of Saint Cyprian, was a martyr. There was 10 different persecutions of the church, and during those first 300 years. And as a result of that, he spoke up and said, why are you persecuting us when religion is something that is supposed to be free? And really, that was the first time in human history that somebody had spoken about an inherent human right not to be messed around with regard to your religion.
What was the context of the time Tertullian was living in that he wrote or gave a
Good
speech
question.
About religious liberty?
Yep.
What was the context? Was the church being persecuted?
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah. It was one of those early persecutions. He lived in the late 2nd century, just like Cyprian and Cornelius. But he was, he was intelligent. He knew philosophy, and so he was able to respond in a sophisticated way, and say that no, as human beings, we have a right not to be coerced where religion is concerned. In fact, the Catholic Church has been pushing that for centuries. The Catholic Church has always taught. You can't forcibly baptize someone.
That's right.
It has to be of your own free will, or it defeats the purpose of baptism.
Of course.
But nobody ever credits the Catholic Church with freedom and liberty, and yet we wouldn't be talking about these terms if it wasn't for the Catholic Church.
Ed, let me ask you a question. The motivation. I know we're going to come back after the break, but this is a kind of a big question to ask you. And that is what Jesse just said. What's the motivation here? Why are we trying to get rid of any religious symbols? It's not just Oniprosera. They're changing names of things. They're taking things out of school where any kind of Christianity was there. They're going to take it out and replace it with paganism. And my question is twofold. One, why? And then what can we as Catholics do? And just like our archbishops are doing, pushing back, but what specifically can we do? Like, for example, parents who have kids in school, what can they do? This is a practical question that I think needs to be addressed because it seems to me, and I'm not telling you what to say, but it seems like we've been way too quiet over the years when it comes to pushback on our rights as Christians and Catholics. So when we come back, we'll ask you that question. I want to remind everybody, Father Charles Murr will be here for the Saturday conference on St. Joseph. Father Wozniski will be here. My wife will be giving some talks. This is going to be a real practical devotion to St. Joseph for all of our listeners. It is going to be on the internet, but if you want to come and join us in person, you can call 877-526-2151 or go to vmpr.org. Ed, can you give us a plug about how people can participate in your classes that you're doing, please?
Yes. Starting September 28th, mm-hmm. I'm doing a weekly online class in the Catholic Church in the 20th century. Mm. We're going to do a deep dive, and we're going to talk about all the heroes and villains.
I hope Bishop Sheen's in there.
Oh, definitely. Bishop Sheen, Bella Dodd, yeah. G.K. Chesterton, C.S. Lewis.
Awesome.
And then, of course, all the villains, Teilhard de Chardin.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
Hans Kung.
Oh,
and,
no.
Yeah.
And how can people, contact you to actually sign up to do that? What's their
All they have to do is go to edmundmaza.com.
Good.
And we're running a special right now.
What's that?
So they can take advantage of that. We're also offering a world history course
mm-hmm.
every Wednesday, and it's going to be the history of the world from World War I to Vietnam. We're going to talk about, all the great things that happened and the terrible things that happened in the 20th century.
Wow. When we come back, Dr. Ed Mazza will be with us to talk more about the Archbishop's criticisms from Los Angeles and San Francisco about the claims against Oniprosera, Saint Oniprosera, and why we need to stand up for our faith here in a world that acts like God doesn't exist. We'll be back with more to inspire you, our listener, to fall deeper in love with Jesus and his church.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Go ahead, Jim.
We're here with Dr. Ed Mazza. We're talking about, San Junipero Serra. We're trying to set the record straight.
Oh, yeah.
From an actual historian, not some revisionist, not some not some machista with a ponytail from some secular college that called himself a modernist Catholic. We've actually got a real practicing Catholic here who's got the real credentials, and we're continuing talking about San Junipero Serra. Dr. Ed, it seems to me like the secular left tries to paint the indigenous Indians like some of the most, I don't know, just like the most peaceful, loving people that ever walked the face of planet Earth. I can tell you from my read of history, that's the farthest thing from the truth. Again, without Christ, they were just given to their disordered passions and appetites, and that would include everything from, again, one tribe enslaving another tribe, scalping, mm-hmm. worshiping demon gods. Their practices were hideous. Comments?
Yes, I want to give a shout out actually to your brother, Johnny. He interviewed Monsignor Francis Weber mm-hmm. last year. He is the authority on Junipero Serra and what was going on in California in the 1700s. So I would recommend, getting in touch with Johnny or reading anything written by Monsignor Weber.
Yep.
For example, this is what I learned. And this is what he talks about in his articles, that, these missions that St. Junipero Serra established were like little oases in a horrible place. Outside the missions, there were tribal rivalries, bloodshed, women were trafficked, shamans would put curses on you, right? But in the missions, there was food and shelter and art and music, and most importantly, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the only thing that's going to save our souls and save us from hell. And so of all the Native Americans who came to the missions, 90% of them stayed. Only 10% of them left the missions. That has to say something.
You know what that says to me, Dr. Ed? Just like America, when they say America's racist, why is everybody wanting to come here? See, they make these accusations that are baseless because, the talk is cheap, but the supply exceeds the demand. The facts are what we're looking at, and the facts are the missions fed the people both spiritually and physically.
And most importantly, Terry just said it spiritually. Let's just be honest. Objectively speaking, most of these indigenous Indians worshiping demon gods, involved in hideous practices by culture or by force, they're objectively speaking jumping over the trap door of hell because they were dying in mortal sin. The greatest thing that Father Junipero Serra gave these people was the grace of the seven sacraments to give them sanctifying grace to make them children of God. And one day now, many of them that lived back then are in heaven right now praying for us and thanking Father Junipero Serra for taking them out of the abject darkness of paganism and giving them the light of Christ.
Amen.
600 Native Americans went to his funeral and wept and piled flowers on top of flowers because he baptized more than 6,000 Native Americans with his own hand.
Well, Dr. Ed, this is why it's impressive that our archbishops from Los Angeles to San Francisco are stepping up, because I've been waiting for this kind of leadership as a layman to defend our Catholic faith when it needs to be defended. It seems to me, Ed, to correct me if I'm wrong, that we've been way too silent.
Yeah, deafeningly so.
Definitely.
But you know what? Those days are over.
Amen, brother.
This is 2021. Yeah. And I got news for you. As an historian, I can tell you.
Yes.
This is the time you call the ambulance and get to the hospital as soon as possible.
Yeah.
This is not the time where you just treat it like a sore thumb or something, okay, or a stubbed toe.
Yeah.
Every Catholic, and especially the bishops, need to live out their vocation because these are the times that try men's souls. And if we don't speak up now, we're going to regret it when we're inside the concentration camps.
That's right.
Or when we're being lined up like the Cristeros. It's a great grace to die as a martyr. But God wants us to speak out for his rights. You know, Our Lady of Fatima said, yep, God is too much offended and men have to stop sinning. When was the last time there was some encyclical or some pastoral letter put out by a bishop or somebody in the Vatican telling us about sin and how it offends God?
Well said. That's a great point. That's what we try to do here every single day, to encourage people to fall deep in love with Jesus Christ and repent and turn away from sin. This is the gospel message, and it doesn't go away. We have to continue to preach that. Jesse.
Doctor, give me an overview. We got a few minutes left. You've done a great job in explaining Father Junipero Serra. Give us an overview, because you started touching on that, on where we're at right now with this whole great reset.
Yes.
Is this a communist, progressive, liberal, globalist, billionaire, euthanasia, depopulation people, cabal that's got big pharma in their pocket, big tech? Give us kind of a bird's eye view of what's going on right now. We have a few minutes.
In 1946, historian William Thomas Walsh interviewed Sister Lucia of Fatima,
right,
in a very famous book, Our Lady of Fatima. And he specifically asked her, what's going to happen if the Pope and bishops don't consecrate Russia? And she said, every country in the world will be taken over by communism. And the interpreter asked her, does that include the United States? Because she was talking in Portuguese. And her answer was, yes. So what are we seeing today? We're seeing the fulfillment of the message of Fatima, that if the Pope and the bishops did not consecrate Russia, the errors of Russia would spread throughout the world, causing wars and persecutions against the church. Now we're feeling it. You know, first it was China, and then North Korea, and then Vietnam, and then, all these different countries, Cuba. But now it's us. And yes, there is an aspect of this which is also Freemasonic. The heads of these major corporations and these individuals like Jeffrey Sachs and George Soros that are really buddy-buddy with the Vatican right now in what is a travesty, a scandal.
Big time.
To have these marauders in bed with the Vatican right now and selling out the church in China. You know, you guys probably talked about this.
Yes.
They just appointed a member of the Communist Party, one of the higher up apparatchiks,
yes,
as a bishop in China.
Yes.
Okay. And guess who negotiated that deal between the Vatican and the Chinese? Teddy McCarrick. the evil, you know, birds of a feather flock together, my mother used to say.
Yeah.
We're talking about Marxist dictatorship is what they want for us. And so we have to live now like the early Christians.
That's
and right. Proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ without fear, because we've got nothing to lose.
Yes.
We're going to save as many souls as possible, and we're going to shout the truth from the rooftops. You know, Alexander Solzhenitsyn was in a concentration camp in Russia. And when he got out, he came to America and he gave a speech at Harvard. You guys probably read that back in 1978, I think it was.
I remember it well. I do.
And he warned America that because the media doesn't believe in truth, because politicians don't believe in truth, you're going to end up in the same place as what we experienced in the Soviet Union. And people scoffed at him. But that he wrote a book called The Gulag Archipelago.
Yes.
And if you read that, he said, you know, we were like sheep when the secret police came to arrest us in the middle of the night. We went away like sheep. We should have screamed at the top of our lungs. We should have hugged the nearest lamppost.
Yeah.
If we had all spoken and done something, we could have stopped it. But no, we just went along with it like sheep to the slaughter.
And Ed, that's my point. mom and dad have kids in public schools, which I think is a really bad idea. But if you're in that circumstances, stand up for that. Because like I said, you know, we got a story where the mayor demanding school board members to resign or face charges because they were putting pornographic high school material in the school. I think that's what we need to do right now is not be quiet. Do just the opposite. Everything that is against our faith, speak up, because if you don't, that's what's going to happen, what you just said.
Yet, what we're looking at right now is basically the Akita Japan, the La Salette, the Our Lady of Princess. Those prophecies are coming to pass.
Yep.
And for those those folks that are interested in my church history course,
yes,
we're going to start with Our Lady of Fatima in 1917.
Good.
And we're going to finish in December with Our Lady of Akita in 1973. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go through all these different countries that were taken over by Marxists and the struggle, the spiritual struggle.
Awesome. And Ed,
Let me ask you a question just real quick. It's just yes or no. We'll talk off the year after. There's a prophecy allegedly made by St. Francis of Assisi about two popes in the future. My question to you is, do you think that's an authentic prophecy of St. Francis of Assisi, or is that an urban legend?
I think that's an urban legend. I don't think it applies to us.
Ed, I have one other question that's going to get me fired, but that's all right. I want to know from a historic perspective, you know, we pray tonight from 7 to 9 every night for Pope Francis, for the bishops, for priests. This is part of our spirituality. But Joe Sixpack, I'm speaking from, in my entire lifetime studying the Catholic faith, in 2,000-year history, we've never had a pope that has been so bad in the sense of not teaching the faith clearly and confirming us in our faith. Am I exaggerating, Ed? And tell me I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. Your take of history. Have we ever had a pope like this in 2,000 years?
We've never had someone, you know, who in Rome is saying that all religions are directly willed by God.
No, that's right.
And then not clarifying it.
Yeah.
We've never had someone who claims that you can be in an adulterous second marriage without an annulment and you can receive Holy Communion.
That's my point. We need to pray for him. Dr. Ed Mazza, go to your website. Ed, one more time before we go. What's your website for people?
EDMUNDMAZZA.com.
You're a good man. I can't wait to have you back here on our regular weekly show.
Oh, thank you, guys.
God love you.
Get back here.
Thanks, Ed. We'll be right back. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. What is needed is trust, St. Padre Pio. And, you know, when we start off our show with the Crusader music,
yes,
I just think about the Crusader battle cry. Christ conquers, Christ reigns, Christ commands. For those of you that love Latin, Christus vincit, Christus reinat, Christus imperat. This is what should be drumming in our heads.
Yep.
Christ conquers, Christ reigns, Christ commands, and he's coming back. So as Catholics, it's incumbent for us to be holy or die trying. And as you know, as Jim Caviezel says, we're called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity. The first pope says in Acts 2:40, save yourselves from this corrupt generation.
Amen.
How do you do that? Don't be discouraged. That comes from the enemy. This is our Queen Esther moment.
That's right.
We were made for such a time as this. Know your Catholic faith. Live your Catholic faith. And spread your Catholic faith and leave the rest up to God.
Amen. Jesse, we got some good to know files. Let's get right into them. We got a little time here. Number one, FDA officials, other scientists say most people don't need vaccine boosters. What? That's not what I'm hearing, Jesse.
Yeah, Terry. So again, people say follow the science, follow the science. Well, we're doing that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, just the first sentence says it all.
Yeah.
An international group of vaccine experts, including officials right now that work for the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, and some that work for the World Health Organization, the WHO, say there's no evidence to suggest that the general population needs COVID-19 vaccine booster shots. Terry, it's unbelievable the contradictions within these own departments. You have common sense people that do lean on science and give us information like this. Then we listen to Fauci at night. Well, I don't. But then people listen to Dr. Fauci at night, and they hear quite the opposite. Again, these mixed messages, Terry. This is a sign of what Saint Lucia, Sister Lucia, called, yeah, that we will enter into a time of diabolical disorientation. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. You got one bishop saying one thing, another saying the exact opposite.
Yeah.
One doctor saying one thing, another doctor saying the exact opposite. This is diabolical disorientation. Stay close to Jesus. Live in a state of grace. This way you have intellectual understanding, and you're able to discern what's right and wrong. If you're living in mortal sin, you're not going to be able to discern the signs of the times and what's right and what's wrong.
A big amen to that. Another good to know file, Israel study. Fully vaxxed are 27 times more likely to get COVID compared to people with natural immunity. Jesse, you have natural immunity right now, brother.
And obviously very much stronger than any vaccine that they've made out there. Yep. Again, this is a study from Israel. It's one of the most vaccinated countries in the world.
It is the most. Yep.
Yeah. And they're saying that, again, their Israeli doctors are saying that fully vaccinated people are significantly more likely to get infected with COVID-19 and develop symptoms requiring hospitalization.
That's right.
Than those who are unvaccinated and have the natural immunity like moi that comes from catching the virus and recovering. Somebody else, you know, Terry, the way we're always getting good Catholics sending us little YouTube videos on our phones and stuff. Yeah. Right before the show, somebody just sent me a video of a gentleman that owns a morgue.
I saw that.
And he says most of the people that are coming to my mortuary, you know, most of my clients are people that died after the double jab. That's the vast majority of people that I'm burying, people that have died after receiving the double jab. So, again, Terry, this Israeli study also says towards the end of it, it says this. The Israeli study combined with other increasingly surfacing evidence may raise questions about why the U.S. government is imposing forced vaccinations on Americans working for large companies, despite evidence indicating that vaccinated individuals are overwhelmingly more likely to catch, spread, and be hospitalized by COVID-19. Terry, the left is not following science.
No.
They are following politics.
And Jesse, just to add to that one in England that we saw, I have another article here. TV station, an ABC affiliate in Detroit, were asking for stories of unvaxxed fatalities, but got a deluge with jab death and injury stories. So, you know, this is just consistent. And again, this is just your good to know file. But I want to also just say this, that I've got three more good to know files that just, again, an Ohio mayor demands the school board members to resign or face charges over pornographic high school material. This is what Dr. Ed was talking about. We got to stand up and say, no, you're distributing pornography to our kids. You're going to get fired or you can step down. Another one, Jesse, college basketball team. You like this. We were sports. We love sports. But the college basketball team forfeited its entire season rather than to comply with the vaccine mandates. And this is right in Ohio. The University of Cincinnati, Claremont's men's college basketball team, said, no, we're not going to do it. We don't want to take that risk. See, this is what needs to be done. It's called the pushback. And Jesse, one more story that pro-life group, we know Lila Rose quite well. She's spoken here at our chapel many times. In a press release, Google has ceased to run the group's pro-life advertisements. Again, it's a pushback. At the request of the abortion activities, Google has just banned all Life Action pro-life ads, including those promoting the abortion pill reversal, which is saving 2,500 babies to the date. The ad has been running for the past 4 months before Google refused to allow them to rerun it. Jesse, this is the point. We have big tech against us. Look what happened with YouTube with us, Jess. We had 30-some thousand followers. They cut it out. They said, no, you can't say what you're saying. Why? It doesn't support the narrative. Jess, your thoughts on all these good-to-know files. What are they all about? Pushback.
And we're seeing it around the country, and thanks be to God,
thank you, Jesus.
Places like Rumble.com, yeah. BitChute.com.
That's right.
We're able to see, Terry, people in New York fighting back, taking to the streets, people in California, people in Australia, people in parts, you know, in many parts of Europe, parents, especially parents that have skin in the game,
yeah.
They are taking to the streets, Terry, and they're not taking this sitting down. And I think agreeing kind of with Dr. Tenpenny,
yeah.
From the American Frontline Doctors,
yes.
I think when it's all said and done, Terry, we're right. Going to see that this whole thing was the biggest scam ever perpetrated on the human race.
Well, that's what our good friend our Jewish friend on the radio, 870, Dennis Prager said. He said that this will go down as the biggest sham in 200 and almost nearly 50 years of American history, because this is just not science. And this is what's so fun, not so crazy about it, Jesse. All these stories, they all say one thing. The emperor has no clothes on.
Yes, yes. And thanks be to God that we still have, again, people of faith, patriots, conservatives, we still have a voice out there.
Yeah.
And we're able, this is exactly what we're doing, Terry.
Yeah.
We're telling people the emperor has no clothes.
Yeah. And, yeah.
And we're saying right at this point, don't trust the Biden administration.
Right. And you know what, Jesse? This is a free country. If you want to go get your jab, more power to you. You can do that. You're free to do that. I'm not going to tell you can't, because it's a free country. But don't tell me that I have to do this or I can't, you know, do X, Y, or Z. See, this is we call a Catholic moral conscience. So we have an informed moral conscience. And that tops everything right there. I don't care if our Archbishop, the Holy Father, comes and says that trust the science because you should get the vaccination. Excuse me, Holy Father, with all due respect, that's not your expertise, okay?
Terry, and you know what? A lot of times we lose kind of slippery language. Even I just get into it, and I call it vaccine. It's really not a vaccine.
It's not a vaccine. You're right.
It's not a vaccine.
You're right.
It's an experimental mRNA,
that's the fact,
gene code injection.
Yep.
That's what it is. But again, you know, we're just like talking fast. We say, oh, the vaccine. It's not a vaccine. It's being used right now through EUA, which is basically emergency use authorization.
Yeah.
It hasn't been approved.
And Jesse, let's just be honest about this. The only way it got through is because they lied to us. Yeah. They said there was no other action that can be taken place, medicine, that will treat the virus. And Jesse, you're standing here.
Which is
here.
A lie. I got treated with ivermectin.
Exactly. So that was a lie. Now, why did they have to say that? Because that's the only way the vaccine, supposedly called the vaccine, could get out.
Yeah.
And let's face it, follow
because
the money.
There's no money to be made on ivermectin
cheap.
And hydroxychloroquine. But these people are making millions, maybe billions of dollars,
yep,
through these mRNA gene code injections that we call the jab.
You got it. Hey, I got to give a plug to Dr. Sandoval. He's up next. I see him in Studio A. He's here in person. And Jesse, why should people be listening to this good doctor, Sandoval? I want you, because you're the one who brought him.
Oh, God.
Talk about him.
This guy's a gem,
yep.
Okay? This guy's not only got a PhD in common sense, he's actually got a real PhD. Yeah, he's a medical doctor, psychiatrist, yeah. And also, he's a practicing Catholic. The guy was studying to be a priest, and he discerned out, and he's married now, has a couple of children. He sits on a healing, deliverance, and exorcism team.
That's right.
As an expert. He's able to tell people, the team and the priest,
yep,
they're dealing with possession or mental disorder. This guy is a gem.
Yep.
And I thank God that I met him 2 years ago at the Liber Crystal Conference. And we became friends, and I pulled him over here to VMP, and he agreed.
Absolutely. And thank you, Jesse. I can't thank you enough. Folks, if you're not going to hear it on your station, get our free app by going to vmpr.org and download our free app on your phone so you can listen to Dr. Sandoval, because you won't want to miss it. And we have all the podcasts there also. Don't forget, Saturday, folks, True Devotion to St. Joseph. If you can't make it, you can watch it on the internet here at vmpr.org. If you can come, there's still room for you. Call 877-526-2151 or go to vmpr.org. Jesse, let's get the five stones of King David, because that's really important right now.
Well, that's
the everything.
Most critical thing. That's everything. Pray the rosary every single day.
Amen.
Two, go to Mass as often as possible.
Check.
Three,
check.
Read the daily Mass readings.
Check.
Number four, penance. At least on Fridays, you want to go old school, Wednesdays and Fridays. And number five, live in a state of grace. Make sure you're going to frequent confession so that your soul is, as the Bible says, as white as snow. Terry, take it away.
And remember what Our Lady said. Souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices for them. And you make a sacrifice for the poor souls in purgatory and also for the salvation of souls, deny yourself something today. Yeah, I'm going to. And you can too. That's what we're here for, to get to heaven. Life is short. Eternity is forever.
Amen.
Up next, Dr. Sandoval show. And I want to ask you to get our free app. If you listen to this show, you won't regret it. It's going to be a great one. And all of the shows here at VMPR. May God richly bless you. And full sheen ahead here at Virgin.